Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Friday, February the 16th, 2018. Happy Friday, everybody. 4 p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy for the day. And we are now working on our Zoom platform like we've been hoping to. And we're hoping this is going to be a nice, clean show. We need one of those. We even need a few of those in a row, because it'll make me feel even better than I'm feeling right now over the fact that we're using a better platform.
Hey!
It's been quite a week. It's been a good week. It's a lot of good things have happened. I don't know if I told you we hit 23,000 plays. I think it was actually late yesterday we hit that. And so that keeps growing. We got more stories in today. I had three more people send their stories in. So that's piling up really nicely. I mean, just all these good things are going on, and it's a nice way to end the week. It's like, this feels like it was a good week, even with the little glitches. This feels like it was a really good week.
So can you tell right now from all the different stories that have been sent in, like maybe how many book pages we're up to?
I could tell you, but that would require actually counting them.
Oh, okay. So you can't really tell me in this moment.
I mean, if I had to guess, I'm guessing we're somewhere around 200, 250 pages. That's my guess. But I don't really know for sure.
Nice. You know, because honestly, that's kind of what I was guessing too.
And Is it really?
I know you had been saying you were looking to do like up to like 350. And I thought, between 275 just feels better.
Okay.
Because when it's more than that, it feels like a daunting book.
Yeah.
You know, something huge. So, because we want this to be light and easy and inspirational. We don't want anybody to feel like, oh my God, there's so much effort in being inspired.
Yeah,
that would be
true.
A contradiction.
That would definitely be a contradiction. And I have to admit, I think I was probably thinking in terms of like not small type, which tends to make more pages, but you know. Ultimately, it's just going to be a good read, and that's really all that matters. I don't think it really matters how many pages there are, just as long as it's enjoyable, people like it, they get good value out of it, they're inspired. That's all I ask for.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So Friday, this is the last show of the week. We're testing this new platform. The tests so far were good this morning. It worked out very nicely. I actually had something set up a little bit more complex so that one of the things that people don't realize is that the audience can hear the intro and outro music, but the co-host can't right now. And I had it set up so that we could do that, and then, nope, couldn't quite do that. So now we're back to plan A.
I know it's really cool when I can hear the music, the moment you say, hello, I know where we are in the program,
right.
All good.
But it's also inspirational because, you know, when you hear the music, it's like, oh, okay, I'm ready to go, And it's
because
good,
actually,
you know?
That is an awesome piece of music. I love it.
It's funny, too. I did a lot of searching around when I was looking for that. And I'd gone through other little pieces of music before, and they were good. They were upbeat. They had there was one that had some positive lyrics in it, but it was a little bit hokey, a little bit corny. I said, no, we need something a little bit more up to date. And so I just kept searching and searching, and I found this little bit. And I picked it up for a song, and it, you know, it's just great. It's worked
you
out
picked
beautifully.
Picked it up for a song. That was clever.
I'm so punny.
You are. Well, I like it a lot. And okay. I know I've had other people tell me how much they like the music as well.
Oh, good. Well, then we got the good one. That is a good thing. So we are working our way through the law of attraction, the basics of the teachings of Abraham, and we're working through it at what some might describe as a ponderous pace, but it's a pace that's fun because, I mean, we're just digging deeply into the material here. I mean, yesterday, I thought what we were going to do yesterday was quickly run through the setup for today's topic, and instead the setup took the entire show. That's how deeply we get into these things.
Well, and we want to make sure that I get a chance to tell my setup piece because all day long I've been like, oh, I have something fun I want to share.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine, too.
Okay.
That's good.
All right. You ready for me?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So we all know that I've been working on Project X, and I have shared from time to time kind of my, like what's next. And during this week in particular, I felt, even though I know Project X is on target, to be manifested, I was feeling left out of the process. I was feeling like I want to do something because I'm a doer, doer, doer. And I didn't know what to focus on, and I was just kind of a little bit anxious. And so early in the week, I was kind of given, you know, I was following my internal guidance, and I was kind of given an assignment to go online and to do some research. And so I did, and the best way to say it is my research resulted in not getting a whole lot of information.
Hmm.
But even when you get no information, that's still information.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it kind of, it's like, because I kept saying how I love to research, I love to research. So I think in a way, my inner being threw me a bone and said, okay, go research, here's the topic, go be happy. And I did, and it felt good while I was doing it, but it's like it didn't really land in a way that I went, oh, I have something new. And so instead I went, okay, what seemed obvious now to me was what I'm looking for, you know, to take me further, I'm not going to find there. And so I've been kind of asking, all right, I'm cool with that. You threw me a bone. I did the research. I didn't get what I wanted. Now what? And I kind of kept saying, I want something. I want something to hold me tight. And, you know, you and I had a conversation one day after the show, and, you know, you said to me something like, you know, Wendy, you made up these arbitrary deadlines, and even though your inner being's kind of playing along and giving you some more hardline deadlines, it doesn't mean you have to live by those. And I know at the time I said, yeah, you're right, but I really, really focused on that evening. And I thought, you know, there really isn't a real deadline. It's whenever it happens is when it happens, and it's all okay.
Yep.
But as I've been listening to more Abraham, of course, every time I flip on an Abraham in my car on a CD or I'm listening to a YouTube, I swear they're all telling me the same thing, which is just kind of like, lighten up, focus on it, let it go, trust that the universe has your back, it's all in perfect timing. And I'm like, but is it in perfect timing? Because I've heard them talk a couple times about how things are perfectly timed when you let the law of attraction orchestrate things. But then I've also heard them say on the flip side, if you don't stay focused on something in a positive way, you're not giving law of attraction what's necessary to bring it about. And so I was kind of feeling like I was stuck between things. Like, I want to make sure I'm giving it all the fuel that's necessary from my end, so that law of attraction has everything that's required from me. And so I started asking different questions, such as, have I done everything I need to do right now? And I was getting yes. And I'm like, okay, so I don't need to do anything else. And I was like, no. I'm like, well, then how do I know that this is all going to happen by these dates? And it was kind of like, just trust. It's all good. It's all okay. And I'm like, you know, and I'm like, okay, can I really trust that, you know? Even though I talk every day on the show how I trust my inner being and the communication we have, but this is a big deal to me, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And something happened late last night before I fell asleep where I just felt as though I settled into a new feeling of comfort.
Ooh, nice.
Where Project X is concerned. And it was like almost such a different feeling. I was going, what the hell is this? Because this feels really easy, really comfortable. And it was a feeling of everything's okay. Like no more need to be concerned. But it wasn't like my inner being was telling me, Wendy, stop concerning yourself over this. It was like I had already landed there.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay. Yeah. So then I woke up this morning and I went, that feeling's still there. And then as the day has been progressing, there's kind of been an awareness of I've already let go. And I went, oh, that feels very interesting. Now I'm going to bring in another story purposely because they link together where, remember I was talking the other day when I went to get a mole removed and how I, you know, had gotten a referral for my chiropractor, but that one didn't feel right to me.
Right.
And I was just following my internal leadings and I found, you know, a doctor that felt right to me. And now here's the interesting point. that morning, as I was laying in bed before it was time to get up and get ready to go to the appointment, the thoughts I had just really positive feelings about the experience I was about to undertake. I was excited about it. I was looking forward to meeting this doctor. I was looking forward to the, you know, procedure. And there was just a sense of however it flows is okay with me. I did hear in my head, I kind of was saying to myself over and over, but it would really be nice if we could do the procedure today and I'll be done with it instead of today is the day that you do a consultation and then I have to come back. And so there really was a very solid feeling in me of I'd love for this to just be go so smoothly that we can take care of it today and it's done. And there was a real feeling that I experienced that went with that. Well, then I was listening to Abraham, and they were telling this person in the hot seat, you know, well, you know that feeling you had before you got called up to the hot seat? And he said, yeah. And what he had said as he got up to the hot seat, he said, I knew you were going to call on me, but when you did, I was still so surprised. And Abraham said, that's the feeling that you know that everything's going in the right direction. That feeling you had. And I went, that was interesting. I've never heard him say that before. So he knew he was going to get called on, and yet he was surprised that he got called on. Mm-hmm. And when I was thinking on that, I went, well, when I went to the dermatologist, I kind of knew that everything was going to go easily and I would get it all taken care of. And yet when that happened, I was kind of surprised that it did. And that's the feeling that I went, I know what that feels like.
Okay.
Abraham was describing, like, that's the feeling you have before the next logical step is for manifestation to take place. And that's kind of where I landed this morning when I sensed that I had let go and that Project X is fully fueled, if you will. I've done everything that's required. I'm focusing appropriately. Now I've been able to let go, and now I just trust that the universe is going to deliver. And then as the day progressed today, I was even getting, it could even deliver sooner. Because remember I said that I kind of have two dates, one thing I feel needs to take place by the first week of March and then the next one by April 1st.
Right, yeah.
I was even sensing, not get rid of those dates, but I was focused so much on those dates that I let go of the dates today and went, well, who am I to say it has to wait until then? Because today's February 16th. What if I'm ready and all the components are ready to roll and it wants to show up today or tomorrow? And I went, oh my gosh, that feels really good to me. So my hope is that I really have released the anxiety piece and the stressing that I'm not doing enough of my part, that I can just rest in where I am now, which is everything's coming together. It's all good. The timing is being orchestrated by law of attraction. And it's my job to just chill. I've heard Abraham say that so many times, just chill. So now it's my turn, I believe, to just chill.
Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, it sounds similar, and you tell me, but it sounds similar to, like, there are times where I find myself releasing certain levels of resistance. It's like, you know, a whole layer of resistance just fell off. And that kind of sounds like what you're describing, except that what you're describing almost sounds even more relaxed than that.
It definitely feels relaxing. It definitely feels relaxing. It no longer feels, I mean, Abraham talks about, you know, efforting and that how efforting actually creates resistance. Mm-hmm. And it feels as though without my being aware of it, I was secretly efforting.
Yeah,
I was trying
sure.
to do stuff, you know, and I now get the impression, you know, what I'm being guided to is you really don't need to effort. We really got this. You've really done your part. And on a bigger picture, other than Project X being, you know, a contained project in itself, what I'm also sensing is I had asked to really expand. I asked that I would really grow, and that Project X would take me to a whole new level in my own personal experience. And what I'm seeing so clearly is how this is really a, the entire manifestation process has been for me about trusting that the guidance I receive is appropriate and it's the right guidance, and just stay connected, just stay connected. And so that's really what I've been doing since the beginning. I keep asking questions of my inner being, wanting to know, hey, is everything on track? Do you need anything more from me? And if so, what is it? You know, and when I get it, I've been following the guidance, and then I say, now what? And it's like, wow, I don't think I've ever done a project in the whole of my life where I stayed so connected to my inner being throughout every phase of it.
Well, that's impressive.
And that's the piece that I feel like I'm getting a new awareness, that this whole Project X is stretching me to really stay very connected with my inner being. And as long as I do, I'm not going to miss anything. And that's a really nice feeling. And so now I feel like I've come in to go on a conscious level. It's like I was asking what's next. And before I knew it, I recognized I had let go. I was like, oh, this feels so good, which I'm thinking based on everything I've learned from Abraham, it meant I was in a receiving space, and I received it without even knowing I received it until I was aware that I had received it.
Hmm. I mean, it kind of reminds me of times where, like, well, actually today in a sense, in a very limited sense, I had been pushing, trying to get all these things done so I could spend more time on the book. Actually, to spend any time on the book lately, I've spent so little on it. And I finally got to the point where it was all caught up. And I found myself in a rather unusual place because I'm sitting at my desk. The podcast is about 3 hours away. I've just put some stuff up online that needed to be done that had to do with bringing in a new programmer to do some programming work for me. And that was it. I had nothing else going on. I mean, the list was empty. And there was like a piece of me saying, well, what do I do next?
Yeah, I get that.
So it's not quite the same thing as what you went through, but it's a little bit like it in that, okay, so what do I do next? And I finally had to realize I'm done. I can actually work on the book. I mean, next thing that I work on is the book. It's like, wow. Because, I mean, Wendy, literally, I've been trying to get to this stage for about 3.5 weeks.
I believe it. I believe it.
It's
so
a very strange place. Yeah, and here I am, like, oh, well,
it's
cool.
It's worthy. It's worthy of not only acknowledgement, but a moment of celebration.
Yeah,
more
it
than
is.
A moment of celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I can, I mean, I know starting Monday, actually I probably will start on the weekend, but starting Monday, I can just plow into doing the editing on the book, which is great because when I have that kind of chunk of time where I can just dive in, I can knock it out pretty quickly. So, you know, what might take somebody else a few weeks to do, I can probably do in about 72 hours.
Well, you know, in this space of, I'm going to call it, starting to live with greater ease, because it sounds like you came into what you've been looking for without you efforting to get there. It's like, boom, there it is. It
yeah.
just showed up.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like this feeling of I've let go of the efforting just showed up. Yesterday, I had completely divorced of the Project X thing. I just had specific things I needed to get done. And how I've always done things in the past is put it on my to-do list. I review my to-do list at night, and then I determine what my game plan is for the next day. And so I've had like these three things I needed to get accomplished, and I noticed throughout the week I wasn't following up on my own to-do list plan, which is, you know, okay, tomorrow morning get up and go and make this happen. And I'm like, okay, this is so unusual for me. What's up? But I just, you know, I'm so tuned in right now to being tuned in to my inner being that I've just been following my inner being's lead. And, you know, it's like my body was tired and I've taken a bunch of naps. And so it's like, okay, I don't make myself wrong for it. I'm not wasting my time. If that's the best use of my time, I'm going to take a nap. Mm-hmm. But yesterday morning, I like woke up, I did a piddled around the house a little bit. And then I was like, I want to take a nap. Really? This is like prime time. Get out, go shopping, get my to-dos done. And instead it was take a nap. And I'm like, this is so weird. So it wasn't until, let me think what time, I want to say when I looked at the clock, it was around 7:30 last night. And at 7:30, I like left the house to go do the things that I really had intended to do at 10 in the morning. And it's the time I do it is not what's significant, but how I came to do it to me is. But at 7:30, I felt inspired and the energy was there to get in my car and go run my errands. And I wasn't quite sure what all I was going to do. I'm like, because it was so different than how I'd done it before. I'm like, well, all I knew, head out to Home Depot. Okay. So I hit one depot, bought a couple things that I needed. And then it was, okay, now go to Lowe's because I'm looking for a dryer. And my dryer works, but it's making an ungodly kind of sound. And it used to be a little bit bad, and now it went to a whole new high-pitch squeal.
Ouch.
It's
yeah.
Pretty horrible. Mm. But the fact that it still heats means I'm not in jeopardy of losing my ability to dry my clothes. It just means it's really obnoxiously loud. And so I went to Lowe's, but I didn't feel I was supposed to buy anything yet. And then I'm like, I'm hungry. So I stopped off someplace and had something to eat. And then, I'm like, there's another Home Depot over here. So I felt, let's go check out that one because sometimes different Home Depots have different products. And I looked. I'm like, yeah, nothing here I really want to buy. And then I came home and I got this hit to like look online. And I did. And it's like based on everything that I saw in the physical stores, now I was able to go online and actually get more information than what
sure.
the online in the store. Sometimes they just post, you know, one little card with a little bit of information. But
right.
I need to know the specs. Like, is it going to be tall enough to match my washing machine? Will it fit in my door and all that kind of stuff? So I was looking online and I went, okay, decision made. That's the one I want. And so I went, okay, well, what's next? And it was kind of like, okay, that's all you needed to know for right now. In this, you know, just following the energy of following what my inner being is showing me to do, what happened last night for me when I was home, I had this awareness like, well, hey, inner being, that was kind of sneaky because I did all the stuff that I planned to do, but I didn't do it from this energy of, okay, first I'm going to do this and then I'm going to do that, which is kind of like Wendy gives herself marching orders.
Sure.
And this was very gentle, and it was following the leading. Like, I wasn't even sure what I was going to be doing exactly. I only had, like, the first piece, which was go to Home Depot near my house. And then after that, I got, like, the next step. And I remember I had told you offline that I had just rewatched The Secret. Because there's the original version with Abraham Hicks, where there was 200,000 copies of that one made.
Right.
And then Abraham was taken out of it due to some litigation issues. And so the one I had watched a month or so ago was the one without Abraham. So now I'm watching the one with Abraham. And one of the things Abraham says in that version of The Secret, actually not Abraham, it was I think John Esseroff, I think it was him, who talked about how, you know, when you're out driving at night, you get maybe 200 feet of light in front of you. And you can go from one end of the country to the other at night. Of course, you can't really be, but, you know, the idea is if all you did was night driving, you could do it with 200 feet of light at a time. Like, all you need is to know the next 200 feet to get you to the next station, to the next, to the next, to the next. And that was kind of how my evening errands were last night. I just was given the first piece of guidance, go to Home Depot. Then I was done with that and I said, what next? And then I got go to Lowe's. Then I did that and then I got what's next. And it's like, go get something to eat. Or actually, you know what? I went to Best Buy. Then I went to get something to eat. Then I went to Home Depot. So I had 5 different stops along my journey last night. Yet when I left the house, I only knew I was going to go to one Home Depot. And so it was just a really fun and interesting outing where I was given the guidance as to what was next when I finished up the last thing. So it's kind of like driving where you only get 200 feet of light. And then as you're driving, you have a continual 200 feet in front of you amount of guidance.
With one difference, of course. There is one difference. And the difference is what you were doing last night was relaxing. It felt good and so forth. If you drive 200 feet at a time all night, after about 10 hours of that, you'll be wiped out. That's the one difference.
Well, who knows? Maybe if I did this for 10 hours, I might have been wiped out too. But I will say that what occurred for me, or what awareness occurred for me, is that I ran my errands without the kind of militant marching orders that I have always lived with, where I have these things to do, this is what must be accomplished, now go make it happen. And instead, like you just said, it was very relaxing. And it was really nice. there was no effort in it whatsoever. I kind of have a feeling that Aaron run that I did last night is in the same vein of my Project X, where I'm being guided to follow my guidance.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you've been given an introduction to what the next stage of your life is going to feel like compared to the previous stage.
I believe that's exactly what's going on. You encapsulated that and summarized that so very nicely. Thank you.
Well, you give me enough data. I can do that every time. Just give me enough data. That's all.
So that's very cool. I mean, because that's kind of what I hear Abraham talking about, but I don't know that my life was there as consistently. It was more hit or miss.
All right. Know? Now, let me ask you this, because the topic today is Abraham's creative workshop process. And what you're describing there, it sounds to me kind of like an extended version of it, because the workshop process is something that you do for, you know, like 20 minutes or something like that. You sound like you were in this process mode continuously throughout everything you were doing. Am I wrong in drawing that parallel?
Well, because I don't read ahead and I haven't read this book in a long time, I'm not quite sure. So let's read it.
Oh, okay.
And then let's ask that question.
I always do that, don't I? All right. So let me read it to you. Abraham's creative workshop process. Here is the process. You are going to go to a kind of creative workshop every day, not for a long period of time. 15 minutes is a good amount of time, 20 minutes at most. This workshop need not occur in the same place and every day, but it is good if it is a place where you will not be disturbed or interrupted. This is not a place where you will enter an altered state of consciousness. It is not a meditative state. It is a state of giving thought to what you want with such clarity that your inner being responds by offering confirming emotion. Oh, see, already I feel like we're talking about very much the same thing you did, except you just did it not as a creative workshop. You just did it as part of living.
Yeah, because when I start asking questions, I do feel like I'm having a dialogue where I'm giving thought to what I want, and I have clarity about it, and then my inner being responds. Me no, yes, no, yes, no.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So continuing, it says, before you begin this process, it is important that you be happy, for if you go there unhappy or feeling no emotion, then your work will not be of great value, for your attracting power will not be there. I want to underline that part. If you are there unhappy or if you are feeling no emotion, I'm more prone to the second one than the first one. Feeling no emotion. You got to actually feel a good, strong, positive emotion to make this thing work. That's what they're really saying, isn't it?
I believe so. Now, I will say for me, because I'm in a happy place almost all the time, it doesn't have the same feeling as it used to. Like once upon a time, happy was just like buoyant and exciting and oh my gosh, it was like such a relief to be there. Now that I'm there on a regular basis, I can tell I'm there because I know I don't feel bad. Mm-hmm. But somehow it's kind of like that's my criteria. Well, I know I don't feel bad, so I must be feeling good because what good now feels like has changed in my experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, it's also, it's kind of like what I think about when I think of myself as being neutral, although it sounds a little bit better than neutral. But it's a low emotion place. It's not a place where there's a lot of big feeling going on. And what they're saying, this is the way I'm reading it anyway, they're saying that you really want to be feeling the emotion. Because if you go there either unhappy or feeling no emotion, you're really not going to get much value out of it.
Well, I get the impression that because this is, they call it a creative workshop process, whenever I've either been the teacher of a workshop or I've attended a workshop is generally to learn a new skill or process. And so I think if you enter it with no emotion, from a brand new process perspective, you may not get the intended results because you don't have enough intensity to be able to recognize the results. So that may be why they're saying, you know, you don't want to enter this process with no emotion.
Well, and that kind of makes sense when we read the next two sentences. So let me read those. They say, when we say happy, we are not speaking of that jumping up and down sort of excitement. We mean an uplifted, lighthearted feeling, that sort of sensation that all is well. And so we recommend that you do whatever it takes to get happy. For each of you, it is a different process. So that seems to align more with what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So continuing, it says, for Esther, hearing music is a very fast way to get that uplifted, joyous feeling. I'm with you on that one, Esther. I agree completely, as long as it's the right music. But not all music accomplishes. Yeah, see, I'm reading ahead already. And not even the same music every time. For some of you, it is interacting with animals or being near moving water. But once you, I like moving water too. I like that a lot. But once you bring yourself to that good feeling, then sit. And now your workshop has begun. Your job here in this workshop is to assimilate data that you have been collecting from your real life experiences as you have been interacting with others and moving in and out of your physical environment. Your work here is to bring the data together in a sort of picture of yourself, one that satisfies and pleases you. Your life experience outside of your workshop will be of great value, for as you are moving around through your day, no matter what you are doing, going to work, working around your home, interacting with your mate or your friends or your children or your parents, if you will use your time with one of your intentions being to collect data and look for things that you like that you may bring into your workshop, then you will find that every day is one of fun. Now, that's got a couple of concepts going on there, so we should probably stop and talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
Because clearly they're talking about this being a not just a one-time thing. This is a workshop that you do on a regular basis for, mm-hmm. I'm not sure how long, but you do it on a regular basis. And what you're trying to do, this isn't a workshop in the sense of, you know, you're building a toy or rehabbing the kitchen or something like that. It's an imaginary one. It's a workshop in your head, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it's a workshop that's about taking your life experiences, picking and choosing which ones you like, and kind of like painting a picture out of it. That's the way I'm seeing it. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, it feels like it's collecting. When they say collecting data, it's like you're collecting experiences that as you go about your life, you go, ooh, I really like that one, or that one felt really good. And then you take that particular something and bring it into your creative workshop.
So it's kind of like what Louise and I have been doing with our house hunting, because we aren't really actively in the mode of, okay, we got to buy a house in the next 2 weeks or a month or whatever. We're in the mode of, let's go to open houses and see what we like and start collecting the data. You know, we love it when the kitchen has the drawers that roll out so you don't have to dig deep down for the pots and pans, or when the fridge is wide rather than deep so that it's easy to get at the stuff that's in the fridge, when you don't have stairs with open landings because Louise is uncomfortable around heights, or, you know, things like that. All the stuff that you like or the stuff that you don't like, you're separating them into two different piles so that we're kind of getting...
I would say that's collecting data.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Cool.
All right. Mm-hmm. So it's not just collecting data, it's evaluating. It's deciding, I like this, I don't like that, I like this, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. And then taking all the stuff that you like and putting it into this picture that you're putting together. That's what I'm seeing from it. Okay, so if we stay with that, It says, once again, reading ahead, have you ever gone on a shopping spree where you had some money in your pocket and your intent was to find something to buy? And as you were looking around, although there were many things you did not want, your intent was to find something that you did want to exchange for the money. Well, that is the way we would like you to look at every day of your life experience, as if you have a pocket full of something that you're exchanging for this data that you are collecting. Right now, I'm channeling Louise, because this is what Louise does all the time. We'll have a conversation about something we're reading, and she'll ask a question, and the question gets answered with the very next sentence. That's what I'm doing right now. I mean, it's just like clockwork. Okay, so continuing. It says, for example, you may see someone who has a joyful personality. Collect that data, intending to bring it into your workshop later. You may see someone driving a vehicle that you would like. Collect that data. You may see an occupation that pleases you. Whatever it is that you were seeing that pleases you, remember it. You could even write it down. And as you see anything that you think you would like to be in your life experience, see yourself collecting that data in a sort of mental bank. And then, when you go into your workshop, you can begin assimilating the data. I keep seeing that word assimilating. I'll tell you what I'm thinking about in a moment, because it's rather bonkers. But you can begin assimilating the data, and as you do so, you will prepare a picture of yourself from which you will begin attracting into your experience the essence of that which has been pleasing you. Okay, so that pretty much summarizes what's going to go on, that you're putting this picture together, and this picture is of everything that you like about, you know, what you want to be in your experience.
I have some friends that they like to, like, let's say we're all together and we're seeing something that we really like. Mm-hmm. The common phrase is, ooh, I'll have some of that.
Yes, right.
So, in other words, if we see, like, a gorgeous car, a Maserati that just looks really exciting and fast and, you know, affluent and all these things that we really like, we'll just look at each other and go, ooh, I'll have more of that. I'll have some of that. And we know in that moment, because this is the intention when we say that we are aligning with the energy of that type of vehicle and what that feels like to us, and we're calling it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that this creative workshop that Abraham's talking about is doing this very deliberately, where instead of just saying, ooh, I'll have some of that, in the moment, you take it and you milk it during one of your creative workshops, where you spend 15 or 20 minutes just playing with what would it be like to be driving a Maserati, and how cool would that be, you know, zipping around town in something really fast. Or I think that's the impression I'm getting. Do you agree?
Yeah, I'd say that's very much what they're doing. And personally, I don't really want a Maserati, but, you know, if that's your thing, go for it.
Well, or the car. I mean the house. You look at a house and it has all the bells and whistles you're looking for. You could say, ooh, I want some of this. I want some of how this feels.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that's what you go and you play with in your creative workshop.
Because what you're ultimately hoping and planning for is, by putting all the best of the best together in your mind, you get something that exceeds every expectation that you previously had. And that's very cool when that happens.
I mean, it's almost like doing a dream board, you know, the dream board where you take cut-out magazine pictures of things that you want and you put it on a poster board and you look at it.
Yeah.
This is a different level of a dream board, but this is where you get into the feeling aspect of it versus just the putting the pictures on a board.
Yeah. And the feeling aspect, we've learned that a number of times from Abraham. The feeling aspect is what makes all the difference. In fact, that's what they were saying at the beginning of this section. You want to be in that happy place before you even do this. Now, there's a final paragraph. It says, if you are able to grasp the knowledge that your real work, no matter what other activities you are performing, is to look around for things that you want with the intent of bringing them into your workshop in order to create your vision of yourself from which you will attract, then you will come to know that there is nothing that you cannot be, do, or have. Now, there is a proviso that I have found so far, and I think the proviso is in me more than anything else, but the proviso is you have to trust it. You have to trust the process. And I say that because there have been times where I have sat down and I've gotten myself into that good feeling place and I've done all these things that they say to do. And then I finished and then I moved on. And then later on in my day, I said, well, is this really going to happen? You know, the doubt starts to set in is what I'm getting to. So I mean, what you were doing when you were describing your story earlier, you were basically keeping yourself in the place. Even when you were asking questions, you were keeping yourself into a place of belief, and you were actually couching it in terms of, so what do I do next? What do I do next? You were all excited to do whatever the next thing was to do, mm-hmm. which is an interesting way to keep yourself in a positive place. I mean, is that deliberate, or is that just because of who Wendy is?
I would say it's a process that has become deliberate, and now it's who Wendy is.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
Yeah. It's been a practice of something I have done more and more and more of, and now it's becoming more habitual. So I would say it's just become kind of a Wendy thing, mm-hmm. but I don't believe it was ever, like, just natural, like Wendy was born with this. Heck no.
Oh, okay. Well, now we know what to aspire to.
Well, and what I think Abraham's saying in this last paragraph is, when you do this creative process or workshop process where you're seeking out things that you come across that really inspire you to something that you would like to have in your life, and then you spend some time kind of milking the feeling of it, then I believe that what they're saying, even though they haven't said these specific words, is now just let go of it. You spent your time doing your creative process, which was just feeling it. But whereas you took it to the next step where you went into doubt by saying, well, is this really even going to happen? I don't know that they're even looking, that they're even suggesting that it's going to happen or not happen. I mean, they do and they don't. But that you just kind of go out and you live life. And then when things start showing up, that's when you get to the part where it says, and then you will come to know that there is nothing that you cannot be, do, or have.
Right.
Because you're not putting any you have to have it. There's no desperation of, oh, I have to have this thing. You're not making it a goal that it must happen by a certain time. You're just doing it for the sake of playing with these feelings.
It's almost as if when you successfully stay in the modality you just described, and then something shows up, it's almost like it sneaks up on you. And
yeah.
I say,
Because you're kind of surprised that it showed
up.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
And not only that you're surprised that it showed up, but often you're surprised how it showed up. Because you look at the mm-hmm. circuitous path, you can see that it took to get there. That's the thing that gets me over and over and over again. It's certainly starting to cure me of asking how it's going to happen, because when I see how it actually happens, I say, yeah, I couldn't have planned that one. not going to happen. I don't see how to have planned that one.
Well, something I was actually focusing on today fits in with what you just said, because before I received your email that said, hey, I'm looking for coaches to co-host the show with me, I had gone to an Abraham Hicks workshop the day before.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I was sensing several days before going to the workshop. Actually, I had sensed this several months before when I bought my ticket, like, you need to go there. And what I know, and this was kind of my own natural thinking, what I know is every time I attend a workshop, my just resistance in me starts to fall out of my experience, and I raise my happiness level.
Because you're going to the workshop?
You know, every time I go, yeah, every time I go.
Because of it.
And I know that the component that causes that to happen is because me as an individual, I'm outnumbered when I'm there. I mean, Abraham, who knows how many non-conscious entities are a part of that which we call Abraham.
Non-physical.
And I heard them say on a CD last night that they outnumber us, because not only are there hundreds and hundreds of them, but then they are connected with all of the inner beings of all of the people who come to the workshop. And they basically say, you can have some really stubborn thoughts, but we outnumber you. And, you know, when we come with the intention to go, when we go to one of these workshops, you know, I don't know anybody who goes kicking and screaming, you know, saying, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. It's like, no, I can't imagine anybody not coming with great expectancy of something fun and just unexpected to show up in your experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, because this would have been my, I don't know, fifth, sixth, you know, Abraham something that I had attended live, I knew when I bought my ticket, it was like, oh, you need to go. I mean, that's what I was sensing, because, you know, it'll raise your vibrational level. So I'm like, oh, I'm in. But then as I got closer to the date, it was like 2 days before, I was starting to sense that the things in my life I'd been asking for were going to make their way into my experience because of whatever was going to occur at this Abraham workshop. Well, what I was focusing on at the time is passion, because I was very aware that my life was void of passion. I'm not talking romantic relationship, although that could be a part of it, but I kind of was going through the motions of all the different things that I do, even though I'm in a happy place most of the time. But it's like, okay, I've been doing so much of the same stuff that there's no real sense of adventure in my life. There was nothing that was really exciting and juicy that caused me to feel a sense of passion about my day. And that's what I was seeking. And so when I went to the Abraham workshop, there's like three segments and they take breaks in between. And I remember after the first segment, I was where everybody else was getting up and going to get a glass of water. My girlfriend and I just sat and stayed in our chairs, and we were just talking about what we had just heard Abraham say. And very interestingly, I started sharing with her. I said, well, I heard them say this, but, and then I explained why in my life I'm stuck. And all of a sudden the waterworks just started to flow and I started to cry. And in the awareness, or in the moment of the waterworks started, I had the awareness of the very rigid belief that I had about this thing that I wanted, about how passion could come into my life. I only saw it could come in through one way.
Wow.
And in that moment I went, oh my God, if I'm believing there's only one way for it to come in, but it can come in through like hundreds and hundreds of different ways, I've cut myself off from those possibilities.
Mm.
And boom, that changed me. And I knew in that moment that was the shift that I was looking for. That was the shift that I had come for. And Abraham had actually said something, and I was using their words, and I didn't know how to make that happen in my life till I was chatting with my friend. And then, boom, I saw this rigid belief I had. It changed everything, but I didn't know what it was changing. I just had this knowing that this is what I came for. This was the shift I was looking for. And as I was driving home, I kept saying to myself internally, everything has changed in my life. I don't know what's about to appear next, but everything is changing. And everything that I'm asking for and looking for, it's on its way. And the beauty of that, I didn't know how anything was going to show up. I just knew that I had shifted my vibration so significantly that the things that I desired, even though I didn't know what they were about to show up. And the next morning, I woke up maybe around 9:30 or 10, and there was an email in my inbox that you had sent at 7:30 my time in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, hey, I'm looking for co-hosts. And I have to tell you, other than the fact that you and I connected that day and I had made the commitment, yes, I'm going to do it, I could not have known the day before what was going to show up that would be this exciting for me in my life experience. I mean, you and I have now done over 60 shows together since the end of November.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is something I am passionate about and I love. And it has brought into my life the very thing I was asking for. But I didn't know how it was going to show up.
Yeah.
But I followed the leading, go to the Abraham thing. Okay, I did. And boom, it was there. And so the idea of, you know, you were talking about you don't know how it's going to show up. Well, I don't think we ever really know how anything's going to show up. But when we make ourselves available to whatever the universe wants to orchestrate on our behalf in order to bring about the things that are important to us, we then receive them. And so I think that's what this creative workshop is about, is that we allow ourselves to experience the feeling of what really matters to us. And then we let go of it and we just let the universe provide. because that's kind of what I did in my story about the Abraham thing. I knew I wanted to have something in my life that I felt passionate about, that excited me,
right.
that made me feel like I was doing something that was valuable and that came as natural to me as breathing. That's one of my favorite phrases. And having these conversations does come as natural to me as breathing. I mean, I don't do any research the night before. I don't go, oh, my gosh, what am I going to say the next day? You and I just start, and it just shows up.
Exactly.
I mean,
oh,
you
yeah.
do the same thing.
Right.
So how it's going to show up, I love knowing that's not my job.
That's true.
My job is what this creative workshop is about, is getting myself into the feeling mode of what really is important to me. And mm-hmm. then watch the universe bring it about.
Yeah. It was also cool, too, to hear you tell the story from the from your perspective of when you got up that morning. You said you got up at 7 o'clock your time and looked at it. And it reminds me, I got up really early that morning to send those emails out. And I couldn't tell you why. And I'd forgotten about this, in fact, until you told that little bit of the story. I'd forgotten that I'd gotten up that early that day. But when I got up, I just felt like I needed to do it then.
Mm.
And apparently, it was to get it into your hands right then.
Yeah, I mean, because if it had a 7:30 timestamp for me, that meant you sent it at 8:30 your time.
Yep.
And then I woke up around 10-ish. And the first thing I felt led to do was reach over to my nightstand, pick up my cell phone, and see what emails had come in. Now, I don't do that every day. I'm not that connected to email that I have to look at it all the time. But I was led to do it that morning. And when I saw that email from you, I'm like, well, I get a lot of scammy emails, but this one doesn't feel like it.
Well, I'm glad.
You know? And I asked my inner being, what do I do with this? And I got, well, go listen to one of his pre-recorded things and test it out. I'm like, okay. So I didn't call you yet. I went and I pulled up your website and I listened to one of your shows. And I think it was one with you and David. And I'm like, huh. Well, I like this guy. I like what he talks about. I like his laughter. I like his tone of voice. I could see myself doing this. And so after, you know, I listened to one whole call, I said to my inner being, now what? And I heard, call him. And I'm like, well, it's a Sunday. And it was like, call him. I'm like, okay, what's the worst that could happen? I get a voicemail?
Yeah, right.
And the fact that you answered the phone kind of blew my mind.
Well, so much for that plan.
Yeah, but it's like, what I'm doing now by co-hosting this show with you is such a, like, mainstay of my life now. But when I think about how it came about, I didn't go searching for you. I didn't go even searching to be a co-host on a show. I didn't even know I wanted to do a podcast.
Mm.
That's my point. All I know is when it showed up in my life, doing this podcast allows me to do the things that make me feel good. And so that's kind of the guidance I've been getting throughout this week, which is I don't really know where Project X is going to land for me, but I do know what I love to do and what makes me feel really good. And that's what I'm focusing on. And I've now let go of the how it's going to show up because I really, everything in me was going with my habitual behaviors of so many years, which is if I want to make something happen, I go get it. And what I've been being reminded is you didn't go get the LOA Today show. It found you. I'm like, okay, that feels a little harder to deal with. But then I thought about everything that wonderful that's ever turned up in my life. It's like even when I went looking for a house, sure, I went looking for it. But in a way, this house found me. You know, and when you read my story in our book, you'll know how that happened.
I was just going to say, I felt like I couldn't say anything more. I wanted to say something and I couldn't because I gave away the story.
But, you know, everything wonderful that has happened in my life in a way felt like it was a coincidence, or now we'll call it a synchronicity. I mean, when I met my ex-husband, and just because I'm saying ex, that doesn't make it a bad thing. We had a wonderful experience and it was a good marriage. And it was very purposeful. But it's like how he and I met each other I didn't really go looking for him. I mean, I did by putting myself on a dating website, but I got to tell you, there were a bunch of what I'll call creepy people that I encountered before my ex-husband showed up, you know?
I'm sure.
And what was even more cool is that I saw his profile, Paul777, and I'm talking to my girlfriend on the phone saying, oh, my God, I just found this really good-looking guy, and I'm just glancing through his profile, and my goodness, we have a lot in common. She's like, well, what are you going to do? And I went, nothing. She goes, what? Are you kidding? And I said, because I really believe that a man has to chase a woman for it to really have the excitement that I'm looking for. And she's like, oh, like as though I had thrown
like
the fish back.
Like there was something
wrong
with you, yeah.
You know, and sure enough, like maybe 7 to 10 days later, I get this quote out of the blue email on the dating site from Paul777. I'm like, he found me. He found me. You know, and he and I joked while we were dating who really found each other first. And I said, well, I found you first, but then you reached out first. So we both had our finding moments. But the point is, I didn't go out and make him physically contact me. I mean, there was no breadcrumbs on the trail for him to even know that I saw his profile. And so every good thing that has ever happened in my life has happened by it just finding me. But I had done the work before without knowing I had done the work by feeling what it was that I wanted to feel. And when it showed up, I knew it because it felt really good.
So
it causes me to wonder, Walt, do we ever really go and get anything on our own? Or maybe does everything come to us through law of attraction and we somehow put our name on it, realizing law of attraction brought it to us?
Yeah, I would say that's probably a big part of it. It occurred to me, too, that when you were telling your story, it sounded very much like a movie that I think was called Serendipity, about a couple that meet, but she insists that if they're really meant for each other, then they're going to find each other again. And so they go through this whole thing where they have to reconnect later on. That's what the movie is all about. And the difference, of course, is that was she was contriving that a little bit more, whereas you were just letting it go and letting it do whatever it was going to do. But it was kind of the same, you know, the same storyline in a sense. And so your question raises a question in my mind: is it true? Is it true that everything, because everything that comes into our life is attracted? We know that from the basic teachings regarding the law of attraction. Well, if that's true, then when we attract it, is it that, well, here's the question. It's a chicken or egg. Is it that we attracted it or is it that it came? Which is it? I think it's a little of both. I'm not sure exactly how you separate one from the other.
But it's something interesting to ponder. Because that, yeah. Honestly, that is what I have been pondering lately. You know, is there anything that I literally made happen versus law of attraction brought it to me?
It does kind of throw it kind of throws a wrinkle into those of us who are doers, though, because there's no doing in that.
Well, but are we led to the doing part? Or does law of attraction have to work around us, even in spite of our doing?
that seems probably more likely to me, which is a little disconcerting, to be perfectly honest. But nevertheless, well, I guess we'll have to leave it there because we're down to about a minute left. So we will have to save this interesting conversation for Monday. And I'm sure we'll find another way to, you know, dig another rabbit hole. And that's what makes it really fun. But before we leave, I want to remind everybody, first of all, you want to make sure you subscribe and share. And we've gone through how to do that. I won't spend a whole lot of time on that here. But just subscribe and share. Subscribe for the podcast and then share it with a friend that you like what's going on here. And one last time this week before we part company for the week, how do they reach you, Wendy, if they need a little more personal, on-the-phone, direct contact coaching?
Check out my URL, which is really easy to remember because it's my name, wendydillard.com.
There it is, as simple as it can be. It's been a great week, Wendy. I can't wait to do it again on Monday, but it's been a great week.
Absolutely. I've been excited. This week has taken me far. I hope it has taken our listeners far as well.
Absolutely, and we invite them to join us again next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye now.